Good morning. What a strong sense of the Lord's presence we had this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Well, a very happy Easter to all of you. We all love Easter, I'm sure. Anybody else get an egg or a rabbit, chocolate, something this morning? Yes, quite a few of you. So Easter is full of good things. We have warmer weather. We get time off work. We get chocolate. What is not to love? But I am going to attempt to explain Easter from heaven's perspective. I think we have a slide for that. There you go. Easter from heaven's perspective, which, of course, is how we should view all of life. Yes. Life from heaven's perspective, or from God's perspective. How does he see this? What does God see? How does he see this? What does he think? What is his attitude to this? How does he value this? This decision I've made, this situation I'm in. And one great attitude that he has towards every situation is that with him, all things are possible. Let's say that together. With him, all things are possible. And not only that, with him, anything and everything can change. If we really see life from his perspective, anything and everything in all of your life and all of my life can change to agree or be in harmony with his good will. Really, heaven coming to earth. And that is what Easter is all about. The good will of God coming from earth. From heaven. Get it the right way around. From heaven to earth. And of course he came in the form of a person, didn't he? Heaven came to earth in the form of a person, Jesus. And before Jesus, the world was in a terrible, I've actually written down here, terminal state. Sin sick, sick sick, no hope. Before Jesus there was no hope, no hope of change, no hope of getting out of these defeating cycles of sin and death. Anyone here ever been in a defeating cycle? I have. If you're honest, you have. All of us have. But God looked at the world in its defeated state and he felt compassion. And his compassion moved him. So much so, he sent his only son. And we know this. Most of us here will know this scripture really well. But we're going to read it together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, it moved him. Yes. He sent, he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Without Jesus, there is a perishing. Yes. Isn't there? In this life, there's a perishing. Never mind the next life. Without Jesus, there is a perishing. And before we personally receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, there is a perishing goes on. You know, sometimes things go right, but often things go wrong. We end up anxious, angry, scared, a whole mix of negative emotions. And the fact is, there is no true lasting peace without Jesus. Amen. We all need God to step in, yes. Don't we? Yes. And most of us here today can raise our hand and say, for me, God stepped in. Love Amen. Stepped in, really. And he sent his son to reveal what he was like. We read our Bibles, we find out what God the Father is like. He's good. He's kind. He has power to change things. He worked miracles then. He works miracles today. But his ultimate reason for sending Jesus, we need to talk about and celebrate this morning. The ultimate reason for sending Jesus to this earth was to die on that cross. Now, just listen really carefully to this. I know you know this, but it's really good to talk about it and to just get it clear in your thinking so that you can explain it to others, okay? God is good. But he's also a righteous judge. And because he's righteous, sin had to be paid for. Sin has to be paid for. But because he's good, he didn't want us to pay. And so he sent Jesus. He wanted to offer you and me an escape, basically, a way out. And that's why he sent Jesus, a free gift. Couldn't earn it, didn't earn it, a free gift. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, we all understand wages, don't we? Yes. You know, I'm really glad the Lord speaks in ways that we can grasp spiritual truths. You know, we all understand wages. Your wage is what you earn. We've all sinned. We've all thought wrong things, said wrong things, done wrong things. And that sin earns death. It's not a physical death initially, it's a spiritual death, but it brings distress and disturbance and chaos and confusion into life. And we see it in people all around us every day. Distress, stress, tension, anxiety, chaos, confusion, you know? And one day, if people physically die in that state, they will go to an eternity without God. None of us want that to happen. We can't change ourselves. This is the good news of Jesus. We needed him. We still do. We can't change ourselves. People think positive thinking will do the job. Well, positive thinking, we all know, it can have a good effect on the way we see life, temporarily. But positive thinking will not change your nature. Positive thinking won't change your tendency to think wrong, speak wrong, do wrong. Yeah. Only God can change our nature. Change us from the inside out. Heal us. Yes. Deliver us. Liberate us. Yeah. Really stop us being full of ourselves. Don't we need that? Yes. And full of him. So if we just go back to the John 3:16. This eternal life that he gave, has given to us. If you're born again, you have this everlasting life or eternal life. It starts now. It's not just for when we die physically. It starts now. Thank God in this life, and we need it to start in this life, so that when we do die physically, we will spend eternity with him. Only forgiven people get to heaven. Only believing people get to heaven. Only people who live for Jesus in this life get to heaven. And the greatness of receiving Jesus in this life is that he moves in, right? Yes. Just raise your hand if you know God has moved in. It's no longer God on the outside, it's God on the inside. Thank God. And as you believe, he works, doesn't he? As you exercise your faith, you see evidence of him in your life. Just say to the person next to you, as you believe, he works. As you believe, he works. It's his power. It's his power. I love that. It's his power that changes us, changes our tastes, changes our goals and our priorities as we allow his word to work on this and allow his spirit to work in our heart. He changes what we believe. And it even changes how we feel. What a miracle is that? Look, when you believe right, your feelings will catch up. You might not start feeling good and right, but as long as you continue believing, your feelings will eventually catch up. And it's a new life. It's a new way of doing life. We have peace with God. We have hope for the future. We don't have to fear this life. And we don't have to fear death if we're believers in Jesus. Now, we've heard a lot already this morning about a living hope. I want to read a fantastic scripture to you. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great, massive, amazing mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. Because Jesus, on that day, rose from the dead, we've already been singing about it this morning, we have living hope. Amen. If he didn't rise, we are still in our sins, and we'll go to a lost eternity. That's right. Think about it. If he didn't rise, we would still be in these defeating cycles of sin and death. But he has risen. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. And through faith in him, we can do the same. I mean, really, see his help to defeat all those things that have defeated us in the past. Okay, so we've been born again to a living hope. People are wary of the word born again. They kind of think it sounds a bit fanatical, a little bit full on. Let's just rein it in a little bit. We don't want to scare people. But you know, we shouldn't be wary of the word born again. It is the best thing that ever happened to you and I, truly. It's not a mental thing. It's not a mental conversion. It's the supernatural work of God in our human nature. If you want to know what born again is, it's the supernatural work of God that changes you.
Amen.
You know, born again, it's an event, but it's also a process. We're born again when his spirit comes to live in us. But the outworking, it's a process, and it happens through faith. But Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom. Jesus, John 3:5-7 says, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Right, I'm going to state the obvious now, because sometimes it needs stating. You have to be born physically to enter this world. Right? We know this. Every baby born is born of the flesh. You were born of the flesh. I was born of the flesh. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be here today. Okay? That's the first birth. You have to be born of the flesh to enter this world. But you have to be born of the Spirit to enter his world.
Amen.
Born of God. Invite Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Born again. To be born again is a major miracle.
Yes.
You know, if anybody says to you, have you ever seen a miracle? I'm born again. It will mean nothing to them. But you can explain that. My nature has been changed. I used to be like this. Let me tell you. Trapped in these defeating cycles. But God stepped in. I got born again. This is what's happened to me now.
Amen.
I was like this. I am like this.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, we were singing about it, have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New.
Right.
New person.
Yes.
New nature.
Amen.
New destiny.
Amen.
New. Same on the outside, new on the inside.
Amen.
We've got to figure out how to work in the new, how to function in the new. That's the thing, isn't it? And, you know, the old you and the old me lived life trying. We got things or achieved things through trying, through effort. It's tempting to continue like that, actually. But the new you is called to have a whole different approach to life. The new you is called to live by faith. We apply ourselves, but we have faith in him to work through us. To be the best mum, the best dad, the best employee, the best boss. Whatever it is that you are called to do, you have faith in him to do it and you see him work. Colossians 3:23 basically says, whatever it is that you do, work at it with all your heart as though you're working for him. You know your job? Whatever your job is, I really want to encourage you, don't think of it as a secular job. Or I'm a hairdresser, I'm an electrician, I'm a this, I'm a that. If you're born again, it's a spiritual job because you are spiritual. It's a spiritual job because you do it as unto him. And you do it filled with the Spirit. Okay, God needs you to do what you do, filled full of him. Adding your faith to what you do changes you. And adding your faith to what you do changes others. Let's face it, we're called to be salt and light. He wants us to bring his influence wherever we are.
Yes.
To be like him.
Yes.
To represent him well. To love. To serve. To be a person of integrity. an encouraging person, a person that other people kind of just want to be around, you know? That is our ability when we live by faith. We live by faith, the grace comes. You trust in him to do what you do, the grace comes. By grace, through faith. Believing him releases the grace, his grace, his grace. So it's a new way of doing life. It's a new life. This weekend, around the world, people are celebrating with chocolate eggs. What is the egg a sign of? New life. Okay. But the new life we need is not just adjustments to this life, a new home, a new job, a new this, a new that. I was watching on Friday night, I'm sure some of you may have seen it, you know, A New Life in the Sun, Channel 4. Remarkable the lengths that people go to try and just make it different, you know? Yes. Moving to the other side of the world, getting a new business, working all hours of the day and night to really get that business off the ground and create a new life for themselves. And people are forever, I mean, great lengths, great expense, great effort they will go to try and get this new life. Forever changing the outside to try and change this dissatisfaction on the inside, you know, and it's just a temporary fix, because actually every person needs the new life that only God can give. And for those of us who already have him, my gosh, let's live the life. Romans says, walk in newness of life. Live it.
Yes.
We have access to incredible ability, the power of God, but we need to reach hold and take it by faith. In every aspect of your life, just reach hold of the power of God, the wisdom of God, whatever it is that you need. The Amplified actually says, abandoning your old ways, walk in newness of life. Not our own efforts, faith in him. The free favor of God. Think about the free favor of God on your life. That's what grace is, unearned favor. The free favor of God in your personal life, in your circumstances, in your work life.
Yes.
Blessing of God. Let me bless you with this verse, 2 Corinthians 12. You know it, but we're going to read it. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Just take that personally. My grace, God says, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. His power in our weakness, and the list actually goes on and on. In the next verses, he talks about his grace in insults, his grace in hardship, his grace in persecution, his grace in difficulty, all the challenges of life, all the things that make you sigh, feel pressurized and tense, keep you awake at night. He says, my grace is sufficient, more than enough. You know, when God gives, his measures are generous. It's always more than enough to do the job. And one of his names in scripture is that he is the desire of the nations. You know that. A lot of you will know that. One of his names is the desire of the nations. In other words, he is everything the world
Amen.
Wants. He's everything
Amen.
They long for. They just don't know it. And it's our job to say, do you know what? Let me tell you, there is hope in this life and the next. But it comes in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. Because of hope, because of him, we have hope, this expectation of good in this life and the next. If you can go back to the 1 Peter scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead to an inheritance
Amen.
That's imperishable, undefiled,
Amen.
Unfading. Just say imperishable. Undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Right, got a prop here. See this rope? It's a bit of a gauntlet up here. It's a long rope, okay. This rope represents eternity. So you have to use your imagination this morning and imagine that this rope goes all around this building, all around this town, all around the nation, all around the world. In fact, there is no end to eternity. It just goes on and on and on and on. Okay? Now this bit of tape at the end here represents our life on this earth. It's small, tiny. You know, blinking, you miss it. Really. Absolutely minute in comparison. And so, eternity that goes on and on and on and on, we need to make sure that we're spending it in the right place. In a good place, in a happy place, in a peace-filled place, heaven. And Jesus, of course, says, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only Jesus is the way in to heaven, to this inheritance, undefiled, that won't perish or fade. People think there are many doors. There's one door, just one. Jesus, always and only Jesus. It's not works, trying to be good, because let's face it, we've all failed at that every day of our lives. Only through faith in Jesus are we born again to receive this inheritance, kept in heaven. We're going to flip back 1 Peter, kept in heaven for us. You see there, where is it? He's caused us, second sentence, third sentence, caused us to be born again to a living hope through Jesus' resurrection, to an inheritance. So you're born again to an inheritance. Right, I just want to speak a little bit about inheritance. First of all, it's kept for us. You don't have to be afraid that anybody else is going to take yours, okay? It's reserved. When Jesus, you know, it's not just a room. It's not just a house. Jesus called it a mansion. When he spoke of heaven, he spoke about mansions. He said, I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you. You know, and I love to think, it's the place you'd all always have chosen. Psalm 139, he knows your thoughts. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. You know, if you like blue, your mansion, I think, is going to have quite a bit of blue. Basically, it's like that. Incorruptible, won't perish, won't fade. I love to think of that. Your mansion for eternity will not perish. I tell you, Easter weekend, out of all the weekends of the year, people go mad on spring cleaning and DIY, do they not? Has anybody here been doing a spot of spring cleaning or DIY? This is what we do. I don't know what it is. We get a bit of sunshine. It's like, right, let's sort the house. Sort the house. And I just think of this. This mansion, it won't deteriorate. Yes. It won't even need cleaning. Amazing. Oh, come on. Look, that in itself has got to be a definition of heaven, hasn't it? It won't perish. Right, I'm going to go a step further. Right, I'm bordering on being a bit rude here, but I'm going to do it because to make the point. Look at the person next to you. They're decaying, right? I know it's a bit rude. I know it's a bit kind of extreme. But the physical nature of this flesh and blood body is it deteriorates. Wrinkles come. Things go south. You know? It's just how it is. But let me cheer you up with this, right? 2 Corinthians 4. Right, this is a long one, but stick with it. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, this body, yet the inward man never grows old. Amen. Never, never grows old. Inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, there's trials in this life, which is but for a moment, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal. Whew. Praise God. Too many of us, let me put it to you like this, and I myself at times, we are too focused on this temporary life, this temporary body, this temporary world and the way it kind of operates, too focused. Not much thought of the unseen, not much thought of the eternal. Too rooted, if I can put it like this, too rooted in this world, too comfortable. in this world, too satisfied by this world and this life. Now, the word of the Lord to us this year is look up. It's time to dream again. And I just want to remind you of that word, challenge you a little bit with that word. Look up from your smartphone, for God's sake. I challenge myself to put it down. Walk away. Leave it for a few hours. Look up from your TV. Look up from your desk, your kitchen sink, wherever it is you find yourself spending a lot of your time. Look up and consider eternity. Yes. Consider the kingdom of heaven there. And remember, our goal is to bring it here. Heaven's reality. Heaven's culture. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about heaven, because I've been doing a study on heaven. It's amazing, right? You know this, right? But, you know, I think a lot of people, believers included, we kind of think of heaven as, it's like the start of a children's storybook. There was a land far, far away. You know, it's all kind of mystical, and there's kind of unicorns and these little silly cherub fat babies on harps. It's not like that. It's just simply not like that. It's a real place. It's a city. It has a city. It has a population. It has dimensions. Do you know it's the perfect cube? It's length, it's width, depth, height. It's the perfect cube. You can read about it in Revelation. There are walls. There are gates. There are mansions. Pavements of gold. There's a river running through it.
Yes, Lord. Come on.
God is its light.
Yes.
There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no tears. There's no death. There's no sin. There's no sickness. There's no torment. Look. Think of a day in this life without sorrow. Every day I have something to feel sorry about or sad about. Most days, at least. No sorrow for all eternity. Every tear will be wiped away, he says. It's an amazing place. A place you will genuinely want to be forever and never leave. That's where we're going through faith in Jesus. An inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, won't fade. If we carried out a survey, there aren't too many people out and about probably today, but if we were to go into town on a busy day, Saturday, let's say, and carry out a survey, do you believe, two questions, do you believe in God? Do you believe you're going to heaven? I'm pretty confident we get a lot of yeses to both of those. That's not a living hope, that's wishful thinking. It's wishful thinking. Everybody wants to believe they're going to heaven. Only born again, people get to heaven.
Yes.
So my question this morning, if I'm absolutely honest, I'd be hoping there were some non-Christians or pre-Christians here. I don't know if there are, but will you be there? Will you? Do you know for certain you will go to heaven? To that amazing inheritance, that amazing place when you die. People take out insurance on all sorts of things. It's incredible what you get insurance for these days. But people, I'd say the three main things probably, people take out insurance on their home. They take out insurance for their car. They take out insurance on holidays, for holidays, just in case something happens. Well, let me tell you, in light of eternity, we are definitely going to die. There's no maybe. Maybe the worst will happen. It's going to. You know, physically, we are going to die. Right? And we are going to go into eternity. Surely, that is too important to take a risk on.
Yes.
Surely. Eternity goes on and on and on. Surely. You want to be sure you are spending it in the right place. But only through faith in Jesus do we receive forgiveness of sins and his spirit in us to live a God-conscious, God-pleasing life. Now, I want to kind of take this a step further. And most of us here are born again, I believe. But if you sort of think to yourself, well, I've got faith in Jesus. I'm born again. My place is reserved. But I'm kind of doing things my way. Just kind of living my version of the gospel, water it down a little bit to suit this and that. I'll just kind of coast my way into eternity. My question to you, and I have to say this, will you? Will you? Is it possible to miss it? And I know these are uncomfortable questions, but they're really important questions because I think there are too many disturbing scriptures that indicate that we can lose our salvation. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father." Colossians 1, verses 19 to 23 says this, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach, without blame in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard." If indeed you continue in the faith. Look, when you were born again, you prayed, it might have been a very simple but genuine prayer, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior." He came to live in you by his Spirit. You were put on a right road. It's called a road of righteousness. But a journey starts.
Yes.
A journey. We need to continue on that road, with our hearts grounded and steadfast, following, set on following Jesus. Do you know, it's a series of little right choices. A series of little wrong choices will take you back. God will seem distant and very unreal. But a series of little right choices will take you forward. You become more aware of his presence. You kind of become tuned in to his voice. We choose right. He enables us. We believe, grace comes. I put my faith in him, grace comes, so that I can live like a disciple, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Let me put it to you like this. If you are going to heaven, you better live like it now. If you're going to fit in there, you shouldn't fit in here. I'm going to say that again. If you're going to fit in there, you should not fit in here. You should be out of tune with this world, right? You might look the same. But that's where the similarities should end, quite honestly. Because if people scratch beneath the surface of our lives a little bit, they should discover our beliefs are different, our values are different, our attitudes are different. That's culture, belief, value, attitude. So instead of, why would you go to church? Our attitude is, why wouldn't you go to church? Yes. Right? Instead of, well, just lie about it, they'll never know. Our attitude is, God sees, God knows, no, no. Instead of, you need to look after yourself and do what you want. We say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to me. What we really believe shows up in how we live. What we really believe shows up in how we live. If you've become more influenced by secular culture, what they value, what their attitude is, what they believe, I want to challenge you today, just repent your way back to Jesus. Receive grace to live a standout life in this world. I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.